Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
And I want to really encourage all of you guys, if you have kids or you don't, you do. They're over here. I talk about that a bit. And you'll notice this morning I'm wearing my flat shoes, not my heels, because on Friday night there was a bit of this going on. I am not too old for the mosh pit. I may be too old for the middle of the mosh pit, but I'm not too old for the edges. I've got to keep an eye out for my guys, you know? So this message this morning actually follows on from Andrew's message a couple of weeks ago titled, You Are Qualified. Who remembers that one? Yep, quite a few of you guys responded to that one, which is wildly encouraging and probably scary for you today because I'm going to be challenging you again. It also follows on from my message the other week where I came up with a backpack on my back about moving from repentance to repentance. Remember, it's got a great big cross in the middle of it, because we're to put down the things that are holding us back because there's work to be done. Yeah? And I feel like this is the sermon series that we didn't plan, but God clearly had his hand on, and that makes me... No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I'll be open about that one. So when Andrew first preached that message, You Are Qualified, it was quite a powerful one for me. I'd just stepped into this new role, and I can tell you now that there have been and will continue to be, I'm sure, many moments where I've felt drastically unqualified. But that's really been a bit of a marker for me through my entire ministry. So how many people here would say that they are in ministry? Yeah, there's a few hands, okay. How many people here would say that they are Christians? Oh, there's a lot more hands. Okay, keep your hands up. I would suggest that in the same way that there is no such thing as a part-time Christian, if you are a full-time Christian, then you are in full-time ministry. Okay? So my ministry journey started when I was in about grade 3. Our RE teacher gave us all Bibles. That was good enough for me. Me being the overly confident and slightly bossy kid that I was, I summoned all of my friends to the front steps of the school every Wednesday lunchtime for a Bible study. Now, a couple of these guys, if you guys don't know, have actually just started up a Bible study at Colac Secondary College, so please be praying for them. That is a massive thing, and it is a massive harvest there. There are young people there that need to know the hope of Jesus. So keep these guys in your prayers. Now, I didn't feel particularly qualified to lead that Bible study, and in retrospect, I probably wasn't. And I'm sure these girls are going to have moments where they will feel that they are not qualified to lead their one, but praise God, we're not going to let that stop us, are we, girls? We can sometimes have this idea that ministry is something that is done by professional people within the four walls of the church, up the front, by those who've done the proper training and who know what they're doing. And I would like to suggest that is absolutely not true. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Peter and John have just been, for some context, they've just been called before the council of the synagogue and reprimanded for teaching Jesus. And Peter responds with this amazing speech that you can read about, but we're going to look at the council's response. It says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say." Now, these disciples were ordinary men. They were fishermen. They had no special training, and yet God used them mightily. I remember about, would have been about 18 years ago, a friend had come over for dinner, and we got talking, and a guy that she was keen on had gone down to Melbourne with some guys from church. I think Dave was part of that, possibly, to a Franklin Graham event. And she had no idea what that was, and so she started asking me. And this friend had been completely closed off to the gospel prior to this, and so I thought, I'm going to take this opportunity. So, quick, God, give me the words. And I started to share with her a bit of a gospel message. It wasn't what you would call a traditional, you know, reciting a tract, kind of like, here are the four steps to getting to know Jesus, but it was what God placed on my heart at the time. And she was curious enough, and so I said, well, we're going up tomorrow. Do you want to come with us? And she was like, oh, I suppose I could do that. Yeah, good. So we piled into the car the next day and drove down to Melbourne, and we're standing there in this auditorium full of, I don't even know how many people were there, but it was full. It was a lot of people. And Franklin Graham begins to speak, and he repeats the exact same message that I'd said the night before, right down to the same scriptures, and I'm not joking. So, you see, there's always going to be a gap between what is needed and what we feel able to fill. But that's okay, because we don't go about it by ourselves. Jesus tells us in Luke 12 that the Holy Spirit will give us the words when we need them. Every time we go out into ministry, we go out with the Holy Spirit. We are led by God. So don't feel like you've got to have it all under control before you step out into ministry. I think we can get this idea that ministry is something someone else can do, that I'm not needed, or I'm not important enough, or I'm too busy, or I'm not skilled enough. But I would say, wherever you are, do ministry there. And don't feel like you're not important enough. A long time ago, back in high school, more than 18 years ago now, I remember having a... We won't call it an argument, we'll call it an impassioned discussion with a particular high school teacher that I got along well with. And he insisted that the appendix was a vestibular organ, that is something that is left over from the evolutionary process that we no longer needed. As in, it served no purpose in the human body. It was left over from when we would eat grass and leaves, and we needed that to somehow digest those things. And I passionately disagreed and told him that we were created by an intelligent God, and that every part of us had a God-ordained purpose. And if science had not figured out what the appendix was for yet, that didn't mean it wasn't for something. Like I said, bossy. Now, I don't believe that humans evolved, but science does. And it was only maybe 10 years later that I read that they'd discovered that the appendix was not merely a useless organ left over from evolution, but was, in fact, very useful. So what the appendix does is it holds a complete copy of your gut microbiome, that is, the bacteria in your gut. And yes, I'm going to nerd on you. I apologise. Not really. So your gut is full of bacteria that help you to digest food and draw out nutrients. It's responsible for about 80% of the neurotransmitters, that is, your dopamine and your serotonin and all those hormones that you need in your brain. It's also responsible for about 80% of the production of your immune system. Very important. And when you wipe it out with something like a bad bout of gastro or antibiotics, you need to replenish it. And you can do that with a pill. If you don't have an appendix, you might need to do that. Or your appendix actually, when you recover, your appendix will re-release all of that bacteria into your gut to recolonize your gut to make you healthy again. Isn't that special? Good little appendix. Now, you can absolutely survive without an appendix. Many people in this room will be currently surviving without an appendix. But I would say that there's a good chance that your long-term health may be subtly impacted if you don't take care of your gut and you don't have an appendix. And the same thing goes for the church. There is not a single person in the kingdom of God that does not have a God-ordained purpose, even if it seems unimportant or subtle. So I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12 and 16. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. He makes the whole body fit together. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, I can hear you saying, now, hang on, Rach, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I just say, that's okay. What do you think is the most important ministry in the kingdom of God? What is the greatest ministry that you can do? Well, my answer would be whatever you're told. Whatever the Father tells you to do. Yeah? Big or small? Okay. I want to share a couple of stories of people who have started their ministry calling at CFC and have moved on to other places. And I thought rather than me talk for them, it would be a bit better to get them to talk for themselves. So if you're going to turn to the screen.
Hey guys, my name is Jess. I was a member at CFC for a number of years as a teenager and a young adult, and I was on staff there for a year in 2021. And at the end of that year, I felt really called to go to Geelong, and it wasn't really clear at the time why, but since then, I have stepped up as a manager at a social enterprise cafe in North Lane, which is run by Christians. And just recently, I've, with another leader, taken on a youth ministry in Highton at One Hope, which is actually where Impact Youth visited for Youth Alive on Friday. It was crazy.
G'day, church. I'm Jonathan Hampshire. I was part of Colac Church from 1989 to 2009. When I moved to Melbourne, I was part of another church there where I was in the kids ministry and then also the youth ministry. It was during that time I found my wife. And then soon after that, we moved up to Alice Springs, where I'm now part of the local missions board. And thanks to this little one, who's a bit camera shy, I'm also part of the tiny trekkers there for Toddler's Kids Ministry. Yeah, it's true. So, anyway, that's me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lisi. I live on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. And I went to CFC since I was born until I was 21, and I moved up to the Sunshine Coast. And I'm just here to say how much I appreciate having the most incredible foundation in my faith, growing up in church. And, you know, kids' church, the teachings, and we loved it. We loved kids' church. There were so many amazing leaders that just made that the most incredible experience. And, you know, learning the Word of God, and then going up into our teen years, we had an amazing youth pastor, which was Gabe. And she was a great rock for us. She built a youth group not on hype, not on, you know, all the flashlights and the cool music. She built a youth group on the Word of God, and we used to sit up there in the loft mucking around half the time, but she would teach us the Word of God, and it would get in our spirit. I knew from a young age that God was real, and I could hear his voice, and I just think that laying those foundations sets you up for life. When I was 21, I felt God move me to the Sunshine Coast. So I moved to the Sunshine Coast. I joined a church and joined the creative team. And I was in that creative team for 16 years. And I led the creative team for, I think, 5 years. And it was an amazing experience. You know, it was a big team. It was about a couple of hundred people in the creative team. We had multiple services and campuses and all that kind of thing. But then God spoke to us, me and my husband, Luke, and said he would like us to move to Caloundra on the Sunshine Coast to Pioneer Church there. So that's where we've been for the last year and a half. And as we're starting from scratch, starting, you know, kids' church, and kids are about to start a youth group and all that kind of thing, it actually has made me look back on what I was brought up with. And, you know, and I look back on it and I think, you know what, we're gonna teach the Word of God Our kids, you know, it's actually quite amazing to see our kids so hungry for the word. Our kids, you know, they want to be at church every Sunday. We've got them up at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning. We're going to go and bump in all the gear and all that kind of thing. They're setting chairs out. They're loving it and they're so pumped to be there. And, you know, they're so hungry for the word of God. And I just think that's an awesome ripple effect that's happened, you know, from growing up in an incredible environment at CFC. And that's it's an incredible ripple effect that has happened that, you know, has gone through my life and now into my kids' life. And to see them serving in church, loving the Word of God, I could not wish for anything more.
Hey guys, this is McKenna.
This is Thomas.
And we're in the United States at the moment, and we've been so blessed with the time of just being able to seek out God and witness to our friends and family.
And yeah, we've just recently joined a new church and they've just reconstructed their leadership team, and we're super fortunate to start from the ground up a new youth ministry with one other fella. So yeah, that's kind of what we've been up to at the moment. Catches.
G'day everyone, Justin Tufts here, coming to you in Colac all the way from Dakar, Senegal in West Africa. I'm here serving with Mercy Ships. They're on board their flagship vessel, the Global Mercy, the world's largest civilian hospital ship. I'm on board serving in the IS department as an endpoint administrator, looking after all their computers and phones and all those sorts of devices. Talk to you soon.
Hi, CFC Colette. Hope you're all doing well.
How you going? Yeah, as many of you know, we felt that God called us to come over here to help look after Dad and Mum, who were needing a bit of a help. And we can certainly see that God's hand has been on that since we got here.
We've had multiple blessings. Mum now attends Tail and Bend Church every Sunday. She goes to Ladies' Day and we get to go along with her. What a blessing.
Yep, that's awesome. And also last November, Ma asked to be water baptised. And she was baptised in the sea down at Kingston, southeast, by the pastor of the church there where she was born again.
When we first arrived, Dad was in hospital. He hadn't eaten for 4 days. We came and he had his first meal. There's been miraculous healings for Pop and calls us the evangelists.
Yeah, that's great. And we get to share testimony after testimony. And God has blessed us. And it's awesome.
Just as he's blessing you guys.
So, yeah, God bless.
Cheery bye.
Bye now.
Hi, CFC Colac. My name's Sophie Hunt. I'm Paul and Sue Hampshire's daughter and Sam Cirillo's sister. I left CFC when I was about 18 to move to Melbourne for uni, and my husband and I were working in house church ministry with disadvantaged youth then, and about 10 years ago we moved up to beautiful Alice Springs, which is where we are still now with our young family. A big part of our ministry has been our work, me as a GP with the youth mental health space, and my husband as a school teacher and a carpenter. We count it a great privilege to be working with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters up here and to be bringing gospel to so many lost people. And a big part of our ministry is to the young families of this town as well. I put down the foundation of that is my childhood at CFC Colac, and I think it's been a great place to launch that from. All right, love and blessings.
Hi, my name's Eve Davis. So when I was attending church in Colac, I was Eve Ellamore. I'm Selwyn and Lynn's daughter. In 2012, I moved to Melbourne to study at ACU. And in that time, I got connected with a group of students who actually kick-started the Christian Union group at ACU. Up until that point, there had been no Christian group at uni. And praise God, it's still going strong. And in fact, last year, they celebrated their 10-year anniversary. In that year, I also joined Kingston City Church, where I became a part of the youth team. And then not too long after that, I married the youth leader, Chris, who was just beginning his journey and training to become a pastor. I finished up with youth leading after our daughter was born, but then took on the role of MOPS coordinator. Chris has now been ordained as a pastor, and about 2.5 years ago, we moved to Wyndham Vale, where we are now leading Wyndham City Church.
Hi everyone, my name's Aaron and I live in Brisbane, Queensland. I'm a nurse. I currently go to church at River Life Baptist Church, where I serve in various different ministries like young adults, children's ministry, worship and production. The person I am today is always going to be a result of the nearly 10 years that I spent at CFC Colac. The family and the community there serve first as a training ground and then a launching pad as I finish school and and left to grow and learn and do other things. And when someone moves on from the place, like myself leaving Colac, it's never about losing someone. It's about growing the church, because the church is not the building, the church is not the name, the church is the people. And Matthew 28:19 talks about therefore going out into the nations. And this isn't the last time that Jesus talks about this either. Jesus, he's saying, it's okay, you know me now, and I've surrounded you with people who knew me as well, and it's now time to go out and be a part of community that's surrounding someone else, and so forth and so forth. And for some people that's Colac, and that's great. And for some people that's Geelong, and that's great. And some people like me, you know, that's Brisbane or Tanzania, and that's okay. You come in to go out, and that's what CFC Colac was for me.
Hi, for those who don't know me, my name is Molly Kayla, and I spent my late primary and teen years attending the Colac Christian Family Church through their Kids Inc program, their youth group, and on Sundays at church. After leaving Colac Church, I spent some time in America interning at a church over there in their children's ministry before coming back home and meeting my now husband and moving to the Narangul Baptist Church, where I am currently employed one day a week as their children's ministry coordinator. I run all things kids as well as coordinate their Narangul MOPS program.
Hi everyone, my name's Aidan. Wow, what a journey. When I reflect on the last 22 years, I've been involved in youth ministry, worship ministry, been a youth pastor for a little while. In the last 15 years, I've been in a great school called the King's College, and it's a great place to work. Get to minister to young people every day, get to encourage each other, the staff, and there's a great culture of prayer and worship and discipleship, even amongst the students here. I've got a great wife, two amazing kids, and another one on the way. But when I reflect on my life, my Christian journey, it all started back at Cairns Road in your wonderful church. I had great support and love there as a teenager, even though I'm sure I was a bit of a rascal. I remember before that, as little kids, being at a different church with Andrew and Luke and singing We Three Kings. Still remember that. But when I was 18, that's when my life really, really changed, and I encountered God in an amazing way one morning at your church, and it just set me on the right path, on a different path. So I'm just so thankful for everyone, really thankful to my family there that really loved me and supported me. And just, yeah, help me get to where I am today. It's not always easy. There's been ups and downs, just showing you the highlight reel. But yeah, walking with God is an amazing journey, and I'm thankful for everything, and that it started there, that I was mentored and guided well, and sent off to do new things. Here I am in Perth now. But I hope you're all doing well, and God bless. Bye.
Okay. How cool was that? I love that. And it's hard not to get a little bit emotional there. I know a lot of those guys and knew them, right, saw them, their transition into faith. And so I really want to encourage you guys, it's not about how big you feel your ministry is. You might be someone teaching, you know, We Three Kings to a bunch of kids. You might be leading a couple of youth rat bags faithfully on a Friday night, not sure what's going to happen to them. You don't understand the ripple effect of the ministry that you do when you are obedient to Christ and you just make yourself available to God and say, use me, whatever. You know, there may be people in here that are called to great ministries, In maybe in Alice Springs, maybe in West Africa, maybe overseas, maybe in Colac. You might be called to a ministry that has incredible miracles. You might see people healed. There might be you might be a powerful evangelist that sees thousands of people that come to Christ. Or you might be a Sunday school teacher that teaches the grandparent of someone that does. So it's not about the greatness of our ministry, and this is what I'll point up there, the greatness of our ministry is not measured by its size, but rather by our obedience to his calling. We're not here to make our name great. We are here to make his name great. No one may ever remember your name. In fact, I'd say all the better if they don't. But if you're faithful to what God has called you to, then I can guarantee they will remember his name. And then he will remember our name. And that's really what it's all about. Yeah? Okay, I want you to open your Bibles with me to Romans 10, verses 14 to 15. Says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless they are being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So if no one's told you before, I'm going to tell you today, you are sent. You're not just called to sit here on a Sunday and listen to sermons. This church is the training ground. This is where you are fed and equipped and built up to go out there and live as the light of the world. Those who need the hope of Jesus the most aren't in here. They're out there. And you are the ones that are called to get out there and live as examples of the love and hope of Jesus to a broken world. Matthew 5:14, you'll bring that up, says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. So I would ask, where is God calling you to shine your light? I want to read a quote from a book, it's called Church Without Walls by Jim Peterson. And it says, for many, the church has come to be a place to sit and watch. Rather, it is to be a people bound together by the Holy Spirit, each using the Spirit's gifts to help one another look and live like Christ. This demonstration is to be made in the presence of a lost world. No body of believers can fulfill God's purpose for them if they live in isolation from the world. In reality, we are already strategically positioned in the world by God himself. So what God has placed in you is for you to share, so that others might come to know that hope. And we can't just hope that they will come through the doors. Okay? They're not going to. We need to go out there and live as salt and light. And as 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to explain our Christian hope. So where do we start? Because that's a great message and all that, but I like verbs, doing words. So what are we going to do about it? I would say the first step is always to seek God. Spend some time in prayer asking God where he would have you minister. Perhaps God is placing something in your heart that is far bigger than you feel currently qualified for. Well, then you'd better be seeking God and asking him how he wants you to go about it. Spend time in prayer, like proper spend time in prayer, not just like a little prayer on the way out the door. Actually spend time in prayer, meditating on the word, listening to the Holy Spirit and asking, what do you want me to do? And if it's scary, pray for boldness. We know in Acts chapter 4, they were intimidated by the ministry ahead of them, and so they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came, and the word says that they were filled with great boldness. Obedience can be scary, but it is so blessed. Number two, I would say, would be look for opportunities. I heard this phrase the other day, sanctify the ordinary. There is no task too menial that it can't be done for the kingdom of God. Get out there. Create genuine relationships. driven by God's love. And if you don't have that, pray for it. God, give me your heart for these people. Show me the lost. Show me how you view the lost. He will. It will break you, but he will. It'll motivate you too. Be asking God who he wants you to represent him to. Represent means represent. I've heard it said that when we do that, we glorify God. It's like we illuminate God to people who can't see him. They see us, and it's like we're shining a light on the love of God and on God's hope and purpose for them so that they can see it, because they can't see it without us. Otherwise, there was no point in Jesus leaving the church behind, right? Perhaps God is giving you something smaller than you'd hoped for. Perhaps you want to do something great in the kingdom, but God is calling you to cook meals for sick people or to show radical love for your workmates or friends. Remember in Acts chapter 6 when the disciples were looking for someone to help distribute food to the widows? And they chose Stephen, not because he was available. It wasn't because he had nothing better to do on a Saturday night. It was because he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Even the small things that you are called to can be used mightily, and if that is what God is calling you to, then that is the greatest act of ministry that you can do. 1 Peter 4:10, got it up there, says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Yes. Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will give glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Step 3 would be get equipped. There are ample opportunities. I would say for starters, you can't go past the Holy Spirit. If you need to develop that in your life, get to it. It starts with prayer. We have lots of more formal training available as well. You can come along on a Thursday night to the Bible Formation course. If you've missed the first 2 weeks, you can catch up. We have people in this room that are enrolled in Bible college courses. You can do those online now. When I was 18, I went to Bible college. I had to move to Melbourne to do it. You don't even have to move to Melbourne anymore. You can do it from your couch. We have small groups. Small groups are a fantastic way to connect in with your brothers and sisters and to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, to get into the Word, to pray together, to do life together, to nut out those small details, to confide in each other the things that God is calling you to that are a bit scary that you might need some prayer for. Sunday mornings. Don't underestimate the importance of sitting through sermons on a Sunday morning. You will learn the Word. Take notes. Go home. Think about it. Do some further reading. If you are under 18, Friday nights. Guys, youth is good. Amen. Yeah? And we get into the Bible too, don't we? Mentoring. If you're feeling called to something and you need help with that, tell us. There will be people who are willing to walk through that with you. And if there's not yet, God will raise them up. He never calls without also providing. I want to invite the band up, please. We as a church are here to equip and to support and to mobilize you in ministry. And in a moment we're going to have, the band's going to play, but I'm going to invite anyone that is feeling either feeling called to step out or who just wants to be obedient to the Word of God and where it says to go out and to come forward for prayer and give God permission to start to speak to you about what he wants to call you to, whether that's big or small. And I know it's scary, and that's okay. Those of us who are in ministry have been there. It is scary, but it is blessed. And there is nothing greater that you can do with your life than what God has called you to. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer.